Now, in order for Australia to meet the requirements of the government's National Energy Guarantee, carbon emissions must be reduced across the whole economy. While carbon pricing has been effective at reducing carbon emissions in the energy sector, it hasn't been quite so effective in the aviation industry. Joining us on the line now to have a chat about this is Frances Markham, Research Fellow at the Centre for Aboriginal Economic Policy Research at the Australian National University. Frances, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Good morning.
So I suppose the best place to start is, why is it that carbon pricing in the aviation industry hasn't been as effective as it has been in other areas?
Well, there's a long answer and a short answer. And the short answer is really that there's nothing easy that you can do to an aeroplane to make it more environmentally efficient. So, you know, in the energy area where we've got things like solar farms and wind farms, you can switch energy sources between the things from like coal-fired power stations to renewable energy sources. But there isn't really a renewable energy source that you can bolt onto a plane and fly off. And that's really what the problem is.
And jet fuel is really bad when it does come to carbon emissions, isn't it?
It is. It's like jet fuel, as they say. And you know, part of the issue as well with emissions from aeroplanes is that they, because they take place so high in the atmosphere, there's other kind of chemical effects that go on that make the emissions from aeroplanes actually worse in terms of the greenhouse effect. So I'm not a physicist, but they assure me that the way that particles are emitted at such high altitudes increases their global warming kind of contribution above and beyond what would happen if that aviation fuel was just burnt on the ground.
And so I guess the obvious solution that comes to mind would be to reduce air traffic. But, you know, in this day and age, I don't know probably quite how logistically accurate that would be. How do we move forward and try and combat this?
Well, look, there's kind of three things we can do. I guess in the immediate term, when we're talking about Australia's Paris climate targets, which are due at 2030, and that's to reduce carbon emissions across the whole economy by 2030 by 26%. What we can do in that kind of a time frame that's quite simple is that we can try and reduce emissions more in other parts of the economy, like electricity, for example. So that's kind of probably what a economist would recommend that people do, is reduce emissions in the areas where it's easiest to do first. But that's not really a good long-term solution. And unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be a good long-term solution for air travel. There's been lots of talk of things like solar-powered planes or biofuels, but they're just so expensive that they're not likely to be viable anytime soon. So without really significant government intervention, we're just not going to really see a big change, I don't think.
And so I suppose, what would you like to see if the government did manage to intervene?
Well, look, in the short term, you can either increase the, say, a carbon tax. So the work we were doing was looking at the carbon tax during the Gillard government period from 2012 to 2014. And that really had a negligible impact on whether or not people fly. And part of that's because prices have just come down so much since, say, the early 90s. I don't know if you remember just how expensive it felt like to fly then, and what a big change it's been in the last sort of 30 years. So if, say, prices went up to early 90s levels, that would actually be pretty good for the environment. But there's one of the problems with that is that that will mean that people on lower incomes are more affected by these changes, whereas people on higher incomes will probably just continue to fly as much as they ever have. So we do need to think about equity when we're trying to come up with a policy solution to this.
And I suppose as well, if people are forced out of, priced out of being able to fly, that's going to put more cars on the road, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah, that's right. And look, one of the long-term solutions is potentially the high-speed rail that we've talked about for so many years between Melbourne and Sydney, or Melbourne and Brisbane. And that kind of thing can be run off renewable electricity. And, you know, the Sydney to Melbourne corridor is one of the highest air traffic routes in the world. So that kind of thing might is probably where we need to be thinking in terms of long-term infrastructure investment. It'll have lots of other flow-on benefits, but will also take a big load of pressure off the aviation kind of sector.
It is definitely going to be one to keep an eye on. Francis, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Pleasure. Thanks for calling.
That was Francis Markham, Research Fellow at the Centre for Aboriginal Economic Policy Research at the Australian National University, having a chat with us this morning about why carbon emission policies don't seem to be having much of an impact on air travel. Forgive the pun, but the aviation industry does appear to be flying under the radar in that respect.